getting the engagement of a consumer as an information to send a message with only one channel, that's really valuable. But you need to first get the data somewhere to collect it, but also to use it.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of ways to do that. There are a lot of ways to collect zero-party data, to use your first-party data, to regroup the engagement from the different channels and different touch points with the consumer.
Welcome to the State of CRM podcast. I'm Matt.
And I'm Ben.
And today we're talking about one of our favorite topics, which is Apple's Mail Privacy Protection, also known as MPP, which we will be referring to it as going forward. Basically, we're about 3.5, almost 4 months now post-release, and we thought it might be a good time to actually revisit the topic and talk a little bit around, are we seeing any impacts? Are there any shifts in marketer strategies? What are people talking about in market as it relates to this? And there was a recent webinar from Litmus that was actually very much focused on this topic with a couple guests. Really interesting stuff in terms of the conversation and where it went. But we gave that a listen, and we pulled out some great discussion points that we wanted to go over today and talk a little bit about a topic that's obviously been burning in marketers' minds for a while now, but I think we're long enough into it where we can start talking about what some of the impacts are, and we can start to glean some insight into that.
Yeah, exactly, Matt. That's a really interesting topic that we are touching base on often in the podcast, but it's been a while, and now we have a little bit more time since it was launched. That's interesting to revisit the position, the understanding of what's MPP and iOS 15 really impacts, what's the real impact on the marketer strategy. And as you said, if you did not attend or watch the replay of Litmus webinar, that's a really great webinar, a lot of content. That's a little bit long, and if you don't have time, we're happy to get some of the takeaway that was shared and adding our thought on that.
Yep.
And maybe let's just start with a reminder of what is the Apple Mail privacy. And this protection that Apple started to add in iOS 15 that is just prompting user to be safe and keep their privacy safe and not sharing information about their navigation, and especially regarding the email, not helping marketers to know when they open their email. And this has been released with iOS 15. But the thing is that iOS 15, it's not because it's released that it's deployed everywhere, that every user has it updated and all of that is used at full potential. Right now, interesting information that was shared during the webinar is the fact that the usage of the MPP option, so activating the privacy in iOS 15, is at a level of 97%. So we are sharing the data from actually another source because we don't have access to this data, and that's really interesting to have people who can access the data sharing that. That's huge. That's almost every Apple user with iOS 15 activated. So that's really, really interesting to keep that in mind. And now almost 40% of the email are going through Apple. So that's a big part. That should be a big part of your database. And that's when we take this figure in consideration, we land at a point that how do you measure open rates? What's the impact right now in your measuring in your KPIs? Open rates are inaccurate. That can be in different ways. First of all, by the fact that Apple is preloading the pixel, that's generating a lot of false positives. So your open rates, if you are looking at open rates with the MPP data in, should you, you should see an increase of in your open rates due to this rule and this privacy rule on Apple. And the important part should be to split them. And so one of the main question you should ask yourself too is, what's going on your on the report of data you are looking at? Is it split? Does your provider, your ESP, your marketing solution is splitting the data and separating the MPP data points and open to the, from the rest? Are they showing that all mixed together or just keeping the rest, showing you open or engagements on the MPP? All of that is really important to know, because your decision, most of marketers are making decisions on KPIs and looking at open rates still, and we'll go more in detail in the discussion. Matan, should we keep going and looking at this metrics? But that's really important to establish from the beginning.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is like a sort of like this initial gut reaction to it, because at first it was sort of, okay, this is coming, a little bit of panic, but it didn't set in immediately. So I think there was a bit of a as they mentioned in the podcast, sort of like a wait and see period where marketers were sort of bracing for impact, but not necessarily sure how it was going to impact their strategy or what they were going to need to do to basically still continue to optimize and measure based on open rate. And they mentioned some interesting tactics and things that marketers are starting to deploy. I think, you know, personally, like existentially, should we even be looking at open rate anymore? And I think like we've talked about that quite a bit in the past, but, you know, something we can get into a little bit further. But I think there's also the sort of that reactive nature, especially as it relates to marketers focused on optimizing deliverability, for example, but also just sort of this like traditional hold on using open rate as a metric. And I think like, it's not just marketers, they're under pressures for a lot of times from management or the executive team to deliver on these metrics because that's what they're used to. And so, you know, certain reactive, I guess strategies that marketers are thinking about deploying is one thing they mentioned are like tech hacks. So can you essentially hack your way around, so like essentially what Apple is doing is in a way faking open rates so that the metric that marketers are receiving, they have no idea if it was a human that opened it or not. And so it sort of obscures the actual metric itself. And there's some talk and effort into essentially trying to create hacks to be able to segment out the individuals that actually opened and being able to identify whether or not it was a human. And sort of the sentiment on the podcast, and I kind of wholeheartedly agree, is that you're never going to be able to outsmart Apple in this regard. They're always going to be able to, I mean, you could put a bunch of work into that and then they're going to patch it and then it's going to be over in a day. But I think actually more importantly is it really ignores the whole idea behind this, and that's that customers and people want to maintain some level of privacy. And I think in lieu of kind of embracing not being evil and working in marketing and tech, like respect that, you know. And I think like it's not the end of the world, and actually in a lot of ways which we're going to talk about, it's an opportunity. So in this case, like treat people like people. And if you're looking for you know, new strategies to deploy or things to look at in terms of being able to optimize, hacking your way to be able to try to extract information that people don't want you to have is not customer centric. It's not respectful. It could hurt your brand, and ultimately, it's not sustainable anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, 100% agree that you summarized it perfectly. We hear marketers saying that they are customer centric. They deploy customer-centric strategies, don't spend time to try to find a workaround for something that's our hack, the update that's just happened. I mean, as you said, that's if you find something that really works, I mean, Apple engineers have access to same blog posts, you know, and they will patch that really really easily if they find out that it's used by a lot of people. So
yeah,
not worth the investment. At the opposite, spend time to ask yourself the right question and how do you provide the best experience, even if you don't know if people are opening the email or not. And that leads us to another interesting point, is that, okay, if we lose ClearSight and the open rate, right now that's one player. Will other will follow? That's a big open question. Again, we mentioned that in a previous podcast that Apple was not the first one to do that. Gmail, Yahoo were already preloading, caching the images for a long time. The only difference is that they were caching it when the actual user was opening the email, but that was already hiding the real information about the user, but the timestamp of the open was correct, and that was a real open. Apple pushed that a little bit further by overloading this open. That can happen with other players in the future too. We'll see. Time will tell if they do it. I personally believe that's part they might go, but we'll see. And just that's being said, the future will continue to move forward in this direction of more privacy. And so let's start right now as marketer to think how we can shift our way of thinking, of measuring things or providing or taking decision, providing a good experience and taking decision to improve the experience for our consumer right now, not relying on open rates or half of the open rates right now, but they eventually will disappear. So let's just think ahead of the time that will come anyway. And the thing is, so if we say open rate will disappear, okay, what are we looking for? And a good starting point is when you look at open rates, it's often in regard of engagement from your consumer. Sometimes you are, as marketer, I think, a little bit too focused on just the open rate and subject line, and we can talk about that, but and lots of the bigger picture and the experience you're providing with this channel. But by the way, there are other channels. So how do you find engagement of your user? Maybe someone is not opening, or you don't know if they are opening because they are Apple user and in the MPP data mess. But you can look at engagement on other channels. Did they open a push notification? Did they came to a store? How many times they purchased in the last 6 months? I mean, there are a lot of other data points and signals that reflect engagement and that can compensate and get you better judgment on the engagement of your consumer, better than just the open rate.
Yeah, yeah. I think, that's important. I think, especially when you're talking about we had a webinar this morning and we talked a lot about like there's this movement towards omni-channel strategies. And so being able to look at metrics across channels should be an important and essential part of the way that you're sort of assessing and measuring and understanding the impact of your marketing. I think, still the issue there is sometimes I think like looking at one channel in terms of engagement and sort of using that as a proxy for your email can be challenging because every channel, as we know, is a bit different in terms of how customers behave. And also the customers that are engaging on one channel may not necessarily be engaging on email. So I think it's a good step in the right direction, but also something that's obviously not perfect as it relates to kind of solving for this issue in terms of the gap that lack of being able to rely on open rate is leaving. So, they mentioned this on the webinar, and this is something we've been talking about on the podcast all the time, is what marketers, I think, need to start doing is really leaning in on lower funnel metrics. So how do you optimize towards conversions? Obviously, with digital purchases, it becomes a little bit easier to do that because it's a bit of a quicker turnaround time and it's easier to measure. But you can measure the impact of your program through, you know, A/B testing or other methodologies in terms of impacting conversions. And you can start to get pretty granular in terms of like how emails are actually delivering. And conversions are great because they're more closely related to the business metrics that ultimately marketing needs to drive. And in a lot of ways, I know you're probably sitting there thinking it's easier said than done. One, you know, you have to sort of switch operationally the way that you're actually delivering and measuring campaigns to be able to do that. But two, there's likely to be internal roadblocks for you as well, and things to think about in terms of your executive team. I'm sure many marketers every single day are dealing with sort of executive mandates around, we need to see open rates or we need to see clicks, because that's what they understand email being able to deliver in terms of metrics. And so there is definitely going to be, I think, a challenging period in a lot of companies where marketers are going to understand they need to move to lower funnel metrics, not just because of the necessity due to the privacy updates, but also just because that's where marketing is headed. But I think, like, you know, now is the time to start educating your executive team on these things, like have those conversations and be very specific around why open rate isn't any longer a reliable metric. Because even if you're looking at the portion of open rates that aren't coming from Apple, one, to Ben's point, it's not sustainable in the long term, as they're probably going to adopt similar regulations. But also, you're literally not looking at 40% of Apple users is a very specific segment, like very like specific types of people buy Apple. Like, it's a huge portion of the market, but they tend to be more affluent. And there's lots of things that are related to them being Apple users that you no longer are capturing in your sample. So it just makes focusing on those lower funnel metrics like even more important.
Yeah. And to add to your point, Matt, that if you are following these steps and educating your top management around this topic, that can be challenging. Again, you said it, that you can face some roadblocks. The best way, I think, to do that is to start doing that and reporting on other metrics and highlighting these other metrics without removing what you were tracking for years, for sure. But you don't need to remove the open rate, but to emphasize, to explain or to showcase that it's no longer, I mean, reliable. So you can split the open rate between, okay, the open rate for the part of the database that you have the information, the open rate on the MPP part of the database. So you'll have two trends and see how it goes and that will help to illustrate that there is part of the database that is not measured correctly. You can also share in your dashboard or your reporting the proportion, the balance, the share of your database that is in the MPP versus not yet or not still available as a measurement. So that will be much easier to say that, oh, we have these results on open rate, but actually we don't know the result for 40 or 45% of the user. We have clients that are on specific segments in the luxury industry. They have more than 75% of the database on Apple. So, I mean, that's just dead. The open rate is dead for them. And that's not a big deal. That's push us to reinvent the marketing practice. And something else that you mentioned on the conversion rate, for sure, that's the ultimate goal. But that impacts also the time frame that you are looking results. So if you are let's say you are used to look at the open rate and even do A/B test on subject line, which is the case of a lot of marketers, you send the two or three version of your subject line and look at the results after 1 hour to optimize the rest of the send. If you can't rely on the open rate and you rely on the conversion rate, you might see differences over time. Maybe the conversion rate of one version in the first hour could be different over time. And so that's forces you to step back a little bit and see a broader picture of the result and the measurement, which leads to a question that, okay, so I can't do a A/B test anymore of subject line. Yes, you can, but actually also you can ask yourself that, was it really effective? Was it just these 5 or 10 words that I had in the subject line that changed the open rate from a version to another? I don't know, people maybe open all my email because they are really in a good relationship or connection with the brand, and whatever I put in the subject line, they will open it. Or I just added so much fatigue over time that I can send whatever in the subject line, they won't open it. So there are lots of different things that influence the fact that people open the message or not. That's maybe it's not so bad to not being able to do a super optimized subject line based on ABC tests that we run every single day.
Yeah, I think what we're going to see is probably quicker than we thought, like shift in terms of the way that marketers are actually approaching their overall strategy, because it's not just about like, I mean, obviously optimizing subject lines and things is super, super important. But that now being an unreliable metric and potentially even more so in the future, that impacts other things like deliverability measurement, for example, and optimization. So obviously, you know, that like marketers are looking for engagement. And that's where now I think a lot of it is going to fall on the click to be able to understand that better. And that was something that came up in the podcast as well. And then another thing that was mentioned, obviously, as it relates to engagement is kind of the potential. You can still segment out your audiences based on like who hasn't purchased in the last year, if you want to try to suppress those audiences, or who hasn't clicked or engaged in a while. And I think like what I'm hoping is actually maybe there's even more of a foundational shift in terms of the way that marketers think about things like that, because once you start thinking about optimizing towards things like purchases and conversions, your marketing program itself is going to start to change in the way that you're delivering emails. So it might not necessarily be so important for you to, you know, and also just in terms of like trigger-based journeys, like this is a huge input for that sort of marketing tactic. And so without this, marketers have to think about new ways of being able to create relevant experiences. And one thing we've said in the past is, I don't believe in this like philosophy that it's okay if somebody unsubscribes who hasn't purchased from us, because that's just somebody that's never going to purchase from us. And I think that what we've seen is that's actually not true, because there's lots of reasons why that individual may not have bought from you. It might just be that everything they're receiving in terms of communication is just not relevant to them. And so I think like, now that we don't have this specific signal to be able to optimize off of, marketers are going to have to really think about how to identify intent. How do I match people up with the offers that I have that are relevant? Because that is what's going to drive conversions. And if we start optimizing and building our strategies towards that, we're going to start seeing shifts away from trigger-based journeys and suppressing audiences and things like that, and more of a movement towards, let's just get the right things into people's hands, you know?
Yeah, that's another point of view. So you take action differently and I mean, deliver value to your consumer and group them by, you group them by behavior and not demographic groups, cohorts, segments, whatever the name you give that group a name. You mentioned briefly the deliverability aspect of our impact on the MPP, and that was maybe something that people were worried about, that, oh, how do we optimize, or how do I double check that my deliverability is okay if Apple is hiding all of that. And the feedback from what's the name, John Stephenson, that is VP of Delivery at Epsilon in the webinar from Litmus. So expert in Delivery for years and years, is sharing that there is not a big impact right now. That's the not saying that the open doesn't wait in the Delivery capabilities, but there is not a big impact seen among all the data he is looking at, which is first a good sign. But I think that all the email specialists that are in the audience with us, Matt, know that the reputation of the domain is really important. Yeah. And if you have good practice for years and years, there are no reason that just a small change of one of the settings of the parameter that can influence deliverability changing in 4 months will impact your deliverability. Especially if you have a big database, you know, that's if you are used to send similar volume of messages on a large database of customer for a long time and the practice are good for a long time and you are not over soliciting, you are respecting the unsubscribe, you are okay with all of that, there is no problem. Might be a problem for people who are less on the good side of the practices.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like kind of along those lines, I think one thing that was briefly mentioned on the webinar as well that I think's a really good point, and something that we don't have necessarily a lot of hard data yet around, but that's that there tends to be this sort of cycle when things get disrupted in an industry. There's like initial shock, then there's sort of, okay, we're going to wait and see what happens. Then there's acceptance and adjustment. And then most importantly, there's innovation. So anytime something changes significantly, like this isn't the end of the industry. This is not the end all be all. It's just going to trigger innovation in new areas or a movement of marketers in, like we've already talked about, in shifting their own strategies. So I think what's really interesting to me is less around like how do marketers get around this or like what can they do to still focus on measuring open rate, but what are the solutions in market that are going to emerge that are going to help marketers get the most out of their CRM marketing outside of this? And I think like that's where things are going to get really interesting. And something you brought up, Ben, before the podcast that I think is interesting is now is the time for marketers to start asking their partners, one, what are they doing about open rate in terms of reporting? Are they getting rid of the metric altogether? Like, what is their solution to this? And not just from reporting, but how are they, like, if it's, you know, a trigger-based journey that feeds off of open rate, what's the next step? Or if it's you know, something that is, you know, if it's an A-B testing company, what are they going to do now? So I think, like, there's questions that need to be asked. But then I think what we're going to see is either the early or the first movers or companies that have solutions that don't necessarily exclusively rely on open rate, we're going to start seeing an emergence of some of those capabilities. And that could be better optimization towards conversions, better measurement of conversions, whether it's online or brick and mortar, more and powerful omni-channel capabilities in terms of being able to optimize and tell consistent, measurable stories across different channels. Multi-channel metrics could become more important in terms of optimization. So I think like there's just, I mean, the sky's the limit, really, in terms of like what now new innovations are going to open up. And again, on the webinar that we had this morning, we talked a little bit about this. It's an exciting time to be in CRM. And I think this is just another reason for that. Like, I know it's a little bit scary. It's a little bit stressful. It's definitely going to create a lot more work for a lot of people. But the long run means new innovations, better ways of doing things, and sort of a forced movement away from something that was kind of archaic anyway.
Yeah, that's... I mean, you I was thinking about what you're saying, Matt, on the webinar this morning. That's just a small pause here. That we had the webinar for the State of CRM Report 2022 this morning. Matt and Jorma presented the key takeaways of the report. The replay of the webinar will be live very soon. We'll post the audio on the podcast too. So if you subscribe to the podcast channel, you'll get that too soon. And you can download the report for free for sure on our website. So that's really interesting to check out. But back to the question on the privacy and all the multi-channel and omni-channel approach you're mentioning, Matt. I really think that it's really a key moment for marketers to, again, shift from looking at engagement with one channel, being focused on the channel engagement, and stepping away from this base to get organized to measure engagement at the customer level, whatever the channels are. And yeah, there are challenges for sure. There are challenges of gathering the data or making it usable. And a bonus question you were mentioning, asking your provider the question of what are they doing with this data, this open rate, the MPP, all of that. A bonus question is, okay, if they are doing something great by removing them or splitting them so you can have view, the bonus question is, are they able to get in other metrics from other channels to measure engagement? Because getting the engagement of a consumer as an information to send a message with only one channel, that's really valuable. But you need to first get the data somewhere to collect it, but also to use it.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of ways to do that. There are a lot of ways to collect zero-party data, to use your first-party data, to regroup the engagement from the different channels and different touch points with the consumer, because that's not necessarily a marketing communication. That can be an engagement by visits on the website or visits in the store, a purchase, again, contact to the client services. I mean, there are a lot of ways that you can bring different data points to be sure that your consumer is engaged and you are building the relationship. And based on this bigger, broader picture, we are talking about removing one tiny dot of the open rate of the email in the equation. We aren't losing nothing. So it's not really a big deal.
Yeah. I agree. At the end of the day, what we're headed towards, or what we should be headed towards, is that whole argument around treating people as people. To your point, Ben, treating everybody as a unique individual. And I think like that's where we're headed. And open rate was, I mean, it served its purpose. It still serves its purpose to a certain degree, but ultimately we have to move beyond that. And even segmentation based on open rate, things like that, it's still just treating a lot of very different people very much the same and building segments off of that and whatnot. So I think again, you know, scary, stressful, but I think, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, we'll be looking back at this and we'll be like, oh, I can't believe we actually used to rely on open rate so much. So I think an interesting time and I'm very optimistic about where we're going to land in the future.
Yeah, and if I can finish on that, Matt, that's a big challenge ahead of marketers. That's not easy to communicate internally, to educate the management on. So don't do that. Don't do this effort of educating everyone, making this effort of making change for a small change that will be impacted by everything disappearing, like all the open rates disappearing in like 5 months from now. Really anticipate something that it will happen eventually. So just let's imagine and work and do all this educational work and this brainstorm on how do you provide a better experience without this open rates. So you don't do the hard parts twice in the year.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Again, the webinar from Set of CRM Reports 2022 is available on our website and in the link on LinkedIn, on our profile, on the Set of CRM podcast page, everywhere. So don't hesitate to tune in and listen to the replay.
And if you want a copy of the report, just reach out to one of us on LinkedIn and we would be happy to send you one as well.
Great. Talk to you next time.
Yep. See you next week.
Bye.